Hey family, this is Kathy. Welcome back to the Salt and Light channel. It's so good to be with you all again and coming to you with another word from the Lord based on a dream I had last night. And it was pretty much like the last minute of the dream. It was a piece of a dream, but I believe it was what the Lord wanted me to see so I could get the word from it. So let me share the dream with you. I dreamed of being, I'll just go ahead and tell you, it was like I was standing outside of a workplace, and I don't know if it was a grocery store or like a Dollar Tree, a Dollar General, a Walmart. It could have been a Publix, I don't know. But I was standing outside, and the drink, you know, like if you see a big Coke machine, and if you've ever worked in a grocery store business or vending, you know, you have to have a little round key to pop it open, and then you pull the front out where it says Coke or Pepsi or anything like that. And then you look inside and you see all the long slots where all the drinks are put, whether it's cans or 20-ounce bottles. And then, of course, you have the coin box or the money box inside that holds the coins. And, of course, now you can slip in bills and everything. And that's where you collect the money. But also on the drink machine, I saw a time clock. It was really weird, but at the same time, it was open outside. I mean, the drink machine was open, but all the employees came out of the store and they said, I remember one girl saying to me, I'm so happy I have a job and I got to clock in. So I was standing there watching each person come out of the store and clock in while this drink machine is open. And eventually, I mean, it's funny, their time clock was right there where all the drinks were, and they just punched in and went back into the store. And then I eventually went back in with them. Now, I wasn't working there. I knew in the dream I wasn't working there, but I was hanging out with them. So I Googled, you know, time clock or dreaming of vending machines. What does it mean biblically? Because sometimes your dreams, of course, do have meanings. God does speak to us through dreams. He said in Joel 2:25, in the last days, your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall dream visions. Well, women can have dreams and visions too. That's a part of the prophetic anointing. Interpretation of dreams, interpretation of tongues, and I can interpret dreams a lot, and sometimes God gives me the interpretation of tongues because I pray in tongues too. But I've always been told in the past by one of my spiritual moms, who is now in heaven. She was a very anointed woman of God, a prophet, a pastor, and she traveled a lot with her armor bearer, and they did prophetic prayer meetings all over the place, and her husband did the same thing, and sometimes they traveled together. But they're both in heaven now resting, so they have earned their rest reward. And she always told me, she said, Kathy, anytime you dream about food or drink or you're in a banquet hall or flowers or rain, that represents blessings. Or it can mean financial blessings and that God is about to increase you. And the clock stood out to me too, because I was standing at an angle. So many times in my dreams, I'm watching things from an angle or half of the picture, and I'm even laying in the bed like I'm asleep. It's weird, but I'm sure you guys have had that too. But I noticed there was like, I don't know, between 6 and 8 different flavors of drinks. I could see the colors of the cans. And to me, that represented not only blessings, but what I got out of it was either 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months, 6 to 8 of each. And then as I was studying and praying while I was writing up this message, I heard the Lord say, promotion and changes on your workplace. So what is coming and what I feel is many of you have been praying for a new job. You're in a job right now that is toxic, or maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you're unemployed right now and you need a job, or you could be. I'm also seeing people who are like bosses on the job and leaders of the job, and you're just tired, you're exhausted, and you need a change. And that time clock represents you've given a lot of time to it, and so much time to this place, that it's sapping your energy, it's sapping your strength, and it's really not giving you time to spend with the Lord, to either pray, read, go to church, spend with your family. It's like this time is robbing you. So the Lord took me, what he said was the time clock was you spent time in prayer, fasting, repentance, and it's time for your promotion. So we know that Psalm 75, 6 through 7, King James Version says, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts one down and he sets up another." So your time of promotion is here, and I believe that's what the time clock, but the 6 to 8 drinks represents blessings, but it also represents, I saw the word opportunity, like different opportunities, different, you're going to have a variety, whatever this means. It could mean you're going to be meeting different people, you're going to be going into business for yourself, and you're going to have multiple offerings out of your business, but I also see multiple streams of income. And that has been prophesied to me for over 20 years now. And I have, remember one person, she was another sister in the Lord. And she taught me a lot and she ministered to me. And she said, "Kathy, I don't know what this means, but one day I just see you having business after business after business after business." And since we've all, I haven't arrived there yet, but I'm on my way. But since we are doing so much online, there is so much opportunity for people to be stay-at-home parents, to spend more time with their spouses, to, if you're disabled or you're in a wheelchair, there's jobs you can do from home, you know, the work from home thing. And I believe that tonight when you hear this word or whatever time of the day you're getting this message, when you receive it and you connect with it by coming into agreement in the comments and saying, you know, "I received this word, Lord, this is for me," that anointing's going to come on you to change and break your circumstances. And that's what my prayer is, and for God to promote you. Now, anytime there's a promotion, sometimes someone either retires or they have to step down or they're being stepped down. So the Lord took me to Esther chapter 1 and 2. And of course, this is about Esther, whose real name was Hadassah. She replaced Queen Vashti. So in Esther chapter 1, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Queen Vashti was called to her husband, King Ahasuerus. He was a Persian king, I believe, like over in Turkey, Iran, or wherever. But he was a very good man, and he was very generous. But they all started drinking, and he wanted to bring his wife to all the men and all the princes, the lords, basically like all the governors underneath him. And he wanted to show off his beautiful wife. But at the time, she was throwing a banquet in her section of the castle, because, you know, usually the kings and queens didn't sleep together. They slept in different quarters for, you know, protection, safety reasons. And a lot of times, well, I won't get off into that, but a lot of times kings had other things they had to go do. And the queen was left to rule in his stead if he was out of town or out of the country. And if they had a son or a daughter, you know, their heir, she had to be there and protect them as well. But he called for her to come, and she was with all of her female friends having a banquet and a party. And so the king sent a messenger or a eunuch over to her to get her and say, "Hey, the king is calling you, you know, and when the king summons you, you come. You don't hesitate. You come without question." Same thing with the Lord. And she basically said, "No, I don't want to come." She kind of knew what he was going to do. And I don't think she wanted to be flaunted and pulled and pawed at, but also she was having her own party. And so, long story short of it, it really angered the king. And he started asking all of his lords and his counselors, "Hey, what should I do? You know, I summoned Queen Vashti and she didn't come." So they all told the king, "Well, what you need to do is put out a decree in the land, because her behavior is going to influence all the women in the province or in the realm, and they're going to start mistreating their husbands and think it's okay, like she did you. So you need to set an example, basically make an example of her, to say this is not how you treat the king and this is not how you treat your husband," which you shouldn't. You know, if your husband calls you to come, go. You know, you're part of him and he's part of you. So the king he went ahead and did what this one counselor said, and she basically was dethroned. And that's what the title of this message is: they're being dethroned and you're being promoted. So get ready for promotion, and you're going to be promoted to a place of authority. You're going to be promoted to a place of where the people who once walked on you and berated and belittled you, you're going to become their boss and they're going to be shocked, like, how did this happen? Or someone who made fun of you all the time, you may have worked with them, you're going to wind up marrying one of the bosses at the same job you were at, and then they're going to be like, oh my God, now she's kind of like over me. Or it could also be you're going to marry into a family where one of those family members criticized you all the time, and now they're going to have to look at you all the time. The Lord is not pleased. Just like King Artaxerxes or Ahasuerus, I'm just going to call him King X. King X was not pleased with Queen Vashti. God is not pleased with their behavior towards you. You know, he's a loving and a merciful God, and I'm all about that, but he's also just. That's where justice comes from. And when the Lord says enough is enough, he means enough is enough. And for many situations that's going on in your life, he said enough, enough. And he's seen your tears. He's seen your crying. He's seen the spouse or the parents or whoever that's mistreating you, the narcissist that you're around. Now, he loves them too, and pray for their salvation. But, you know, there'll come a time, God always, when someone is mistreating you, the Lord does deal with them. They may not fully understand what's happening, but they do know in their heart that it's God, because there's a space in each one of us created just for the Lord only. And they know when God's dealing with them. Sometimes it's because of the way their life is being abased, or they're being humble. And it's like they're getting a big spanking. So, and there's a scripture that says, behold, or look, you will receive the reward of the wicked, but it shall not come near you. Sometimes you can tell who's been the ones that's been putting their mouth on you, or bad-mouthing you, or gossiping behind your back. That's what the Lord showed me. He said, every time I see somebody going through something all of a sudden, and I said, Lord, what's going on? And it could be people you work with, people in your family, people in your church, people in your work. He said, Kathy, they were talking about you. And I said, don't touch my anointed, because they don't even know you and they're judging you. And I've had people come against me that's even died in the past. And I mean, I cried. It broke my heart. And I went to, you know, my mom, her name was Carolyn, but everybody called her Sister Kitty. And she says, Kathy, he made the mistake of putting his mouth on you, and he must have really hurt you bad or bad-mouthed you and tried to ruin your character. And that's what the Holy Spirit has given me right now. There's many of you, you were shamed in private. They tried to destroy your character in private. And there's a saying out there, something like this, and now God's going to promote you publicly. Everybody that has had a part in this is going to have to watch you eat at your table that he's going to prepare before them in the presence of your enemies. They're going to have to watch you sit at this table and dine with fineness, but they're not invited. There's not a place setting for them. It's only for you and the Lord, and maybe those who God, you know, served you or blessed you or took care of you. You know, what's coming to mind is the movie that Ever After that Drew Barrymore was in when she played Cinderella in real life. I love that movie. And I think Angelica Houston played the evil stepmother, but she winds up, she was basically their maid, even though her daddy was the head of the manor and he died. But long story short, she ran into the prince, and she fell in love with the Prince of France, the crown prince, and he fell in love with her. And they mistreated her so bad while she was living in the manor. It's the Cinderella story. But next thing you know, she's married to the prince, and she's the future queen of France. And they all had to bow before her. That's what's about to happen for you, for me, for many others. And what happened was, I'm going to go to Esther chapter 2 for a minute. So what they also said was, all right, King, we think you should get all of the young women in the province, all the young virgins, and we're going to parade them in front of you. Basically, he got to choose his next queen because he dethroned Vashti and he got rid of her. He told her what she had done and then he got rid of her. I'm sure she regretted that. And so Esther was raised by her uncle Mordecai, but he told her not to tell the king or anyone who he was or the fact that she was a Jew, because God sent her there for such a time as this to protect her people from being destroyed. Because, and that's another word for another time, but let's open this up. But they had to go through purification for 12 months a year before they went before the king. And when I was reading that, the Lord said that many of you have been through a year or two of just seems like pure hell and fire. You've gone through your purification. And the Lord is about to parade you or present you to your king. And that can be your husband, your kingdom spouse. It could be your new boss, the boss that's going to give you an office and promote you in front of everybody. The Lord has been preparing you. Sometimes before we go into the palace, we have to get the pit out of us or we have to get Egypt out of us, the mindsets. And, you know, you just can't go up in any place, act in any way you want. Certain places will not allow that type of etiquette and they'll put you out. You know, we have to learn how to become all things to all men that we might win some. And you got to know the atmosphere and the season that you're in and just let the Lord lead you as you go. So the town was called Shushan. It was, okay, so verse 8. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him. She already found favor with the custodian of the women. She hasn't even met the king yet. Now that's something when you have favor with a total stranger and you're in a high place. That's God with you. Just like Joseph, when Joseph was brought out of prison and interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams, the next thing you know, he's the second in command under the Pharaoh, first in command under the Pharaoh. Everybody had to bow to him. Now the young woman pleased him and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty treatments, preparations to her besides her allowance. So she not only got free makeup and skincare and hair treatments, but she also got an allowance, a purse. So, you know, the king was already taking care of her and all of the women. Then seven choice maidservants, that's how you know you have your kingdom or your Boaz, your kingdom spouse. Then seven choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house for women. That's a word. You know, he not only gave her a purse, he gave her the most expensive skincare and makeup and shampoo, but he also gave her seven servants and put them up in the best place because she had favor with the first door to walk through to get to the king. And that's what's going to happen to you. You have already found favor with someone in authority. And when you get connected with them, they may take you first through their secretary or through the CEO or the COO or the HR representative. You're going to find favor with them because that's going to also get you prepared for what you're about to go into. Boy, I received this word. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day Mordecai, which was her uncle, paced in front of the court of the woman's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. He was still looking out for his niece that he raised as a daughter. Each young woman's turn came to go in to King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation. This is what I was getting to. According to the regulations for the women, for thus were the days of her preparation apportioned, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Thus prepared each woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her. Basically, they had a wardrobe for each girl, big closet full of clothes to choose from. So it's almost like a Miss America or Miss Universe pageant, but this is becoming the queen of basically like Turkey. But for Esther, it was God had placed her there for a divine assignment. So Esther already had servants and a purse. You can imagine what these women thought seeing that, because then none of them got that. That's how you know it's God's will and he's with you, is when he does all this for you, because he's keeping you safe and he's preparing the way for you. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. when God is with you, you will have favor with everyone. And even the people who are jealous or angry won't be able to say anything. And some of them might even turn their heart towards you and be your friend. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all of the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther. Imagine that. You go from being an orphan raised by your uncle, and next thing you know, you're being paraded in front of the king. You have favor with his first man in charge, who gives you your own, basically your own big makeup closet and your big clothes closet. He gives you 7 maids. Then he crowns you as his queen, and then he throws a feast in your name. Talk about the favor and the promotion of God. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all of his officials and servants, and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces, or all the different countries and towns in his realm, and gave gifts according to the generosity of the king. And it says the virgins gathered together a second time at the king's gate. Now Esther not revealed who she was. So this was still a divine destiny for Esther, because she had a role to play in saving the Jews, because someone found out, you know, she was Jewish, and it was through Haman, who was very jealous of Mordecai, her uncle, and he wanted all the king's, you know, favors and blessings. He wanted the high position, and he thought it was going to be given to him. But someone, and that's what's going on right now, there's someone who, or more than one, that thinks they deserve what God has given you, and they think it belongs to them. And the Lord is getting ready to strip that false robe off of them. Now, pray for them, because maybe they don't know what they're really doing, you know. But also, Haman found out that she was a Jew, so he had some people write like a decree to have all the Jews killed in every province. Well, the king signed it with his signet ring and the wax, and he put his ring in it, and once that is decreed, you can't alter it. But Esther went before the king and asked him, and she went without being summoned, so she could have been executed right then. You know, you don't just roll up into the king's palace and stand before, even if you're the queen, you have to wait to be summoned. So, long story short, she begged the king for her people's lives, to spare them, and he didn't realize who she was, but then he gave her what she wanted. He said, I'll give you anything you want, even up to half of my kingdom. A lot of kings did that back in the biblical times. Not only were her people spared, they were allowed to fight and beat up the people and kill the people who were trying to kill them. And all that Haman had set out against Mordecai to do, someone remembered a good deed that Mordecai did to save the king's life, because he had some like stewards who were in his palace and maybe in his bedroom, and they dressed him and they cleaned him, and there was 2 of them that were trying to assassinate him, and Mordecai heard somebody talking about it, and he went and told the chief guard, and the guard told the king, and basically the king's life was spared. And one night he couldn't sleep, and he said, read everything to me out of the book. And he told him about how Mordecai had saved his life. And he said, wait a minute, was anything ever done for him? So they prepared a parade for him. They were going to put the royal robe and ring on him. But Haman thought it was going to be for him. And when he found out it was Mordecai, he lost his cookies. And he actually had a pole built to hang Mordecai on. And when the king found out about it, he was furious. And he not only had Haman hung, but he had his whole family hung, because they kind of all were in on it. And Mordecai was the one who now had the royal robe and the royal ring on him. He was like a prince or a lord. And again, he was just a poor guy who raised his niece. So look how God took them from the pit to the palace, because of their faithfulness and because they loved the Lord. And you're about to go through that same promotion. And I feel like seeing the vending machine is the blessings that's coming on you, but it also has something to do with your job. It could be your work. You could be a YouTube content creator like I and millions of others are, and you've been asking the Lord to help you. But I see, it's like I see a corporate setting, and there's many bosses, there's many leaders, and I see you guys are on this big conference table, and some have had meetings behind your back, and they've been plotting how to get rid of you, and the Lord's been sitting in on these meetings, and he's just been strumming his fingers, and the angels have been writing down what's going on, and he's listened to everything. That's why you need to trust the Lord no matter what, because he hears and sees things that goes on behind your back about you that you don't see. Trust him when he holds something back, or he holds someone out of your life, or when he doesn't let a job go through, or you get held up in the line or restaurant. He's protecting you from maybe a car accident down the road. So trust his timing. So I also come across this YouTube video by evangelist named Joshua or Rick Kai. I can't say his name, but he basically said the same thing that the Lord showed me. He said vending machines can represent blessings and your choice, you're being able to make good choices in your business and your work. He said it could be you searching for something and you're unsettled, and it could be that. But he said, I think it means that your blessings are coming and you are ready for them and to just thank God for it. So that's the word I have for you. And the Lord gave me a song because he's so good. And this is the goodness in his life, in him, in your life, that he's going to do for you. Because some of you have had so much loss, so much heartache, and so many comments I'm getting that people are just like, I never thought that I would hear something like this. I never knew that God loved me like this. And you are about to see the goodness of God in your life like you've never seen before, because you've not only connected to this ministry, but you've helped grow it by your liking, subscribing, sharing, commenting, sewing, whatever you've done. The anointing on me is coming on you, and God is about to show you the goodness. I've seen so much of his goodness. I've seen a lot of heartache too, but I've seen his goodness through everything. So that's the name of the song. It's called The Goodness, and it's by Blessing Offer. Here we are talking about blessings, and his last name is spelled, his first name is Blessing, and his last name is O-F-F-O-R, and he's blind, and he was discovered, I think, by Toby Mac. I think he was like playing in a train station or somewhere. I'd heard he was discovered. So it's Blessing Offer and Toby Mac, O-F-F-O-R. And you're going to be getting some great offers and opportunities. Thank you, Lord. That was the other thing I saw about the multiple flavors, was the Lord showed me multiple opportunities, multiple people, streams of income. But I also see you're just going to be so happy, and you're going to be with a great group of people, and they're going to be like family, and they're going to have your back. Because where you've been, whether it's a job or a family, you've not had a whole lot of people standing up for you. It's almost like you've been alone, and you've had to fight with the Lord in your spirit. But what it boils down to, it's jealousy. And it's the enemy trying to stop you from going forward into your destiny. And there was always a lot of jealousy in the Bible. You know, Joseph's brothers were jealous of his coat, and that's why they sold him into slavery. But in the end, Joseph saved their life, and they were so sorry and so repentant, and everything was restored. So these are the words to the song, The Goodness. You made the rain, so when it falls on me, should I complain? No, because it rains on the just and the unjust. I heard the Lord say that yesterday. Or feel you're calling me. It's all on me to stay and really catch what you're showing. It's all on you to stay and catch what God is showing you. Be still and listen. It's my roots that you're growing, because life is more than this moment. Tough times grows your roots. You are the light, so when the darkness falls, the greatest heights, they never seem so tall. No, not at all. You're right. It's my roots that you're growing. Don't want to miss what you're showing. Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up, Lord. Yes, he does. And he's showing up right now for you. Ain't no doubt, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ain't no doubt about it. You, everywhere that I go, you keep showing up, Lord. You make me want to shout it. Oh, you're the goodness in my life. He is definitely the goodness in our lives, because every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And you are about to see the goodness in Him like you've never seen before. And I'm going to tell you my truth. They may come, they may go. You keep showing up. You sure do. Ain't no doubt about it. You are the goodness in my life. You are the joy. You're the smile on the face of your boy. You're the flowers at the park in Detroit. Still the words on the back of our coins. Let's make some noise. Hey, you cover me. And I love this part right here. You cover me, my defender, when you're rolling up your sleeve. You're the truth that's going to set the captive free. The only king that's ever chose to bleed. That's what I believe. That they keep trying to make your glory fade, but I ain't easily sweating what they say. Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up, Lord. You make me want to shout it. You're the goodness in my life. And I'll tell you my truth. They may come, they may go. You keep showing up, sure do. Ain't no doubt about it. You are the goodness in my life. How many times have you told the Lord, thank you for His goodness? Thank you for the goodness in my life. Acknowledge His goodness, because He's doing that for you, and you'll see more. Show Him appreciation today. Thank Him. Through the good and the bad and the ugly, I can still see the sunshine above me. Lord, I love all the ways that you love me. You're the good, you're the good, you're the goodness. Through the good and the bad and the ugly, I can still feel the sunshine above me. Lord, I love all the ways that you love me. You're the good, you're the good, yes, you're the goodness. And then it goes back into the chorus about you're the good. Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up, Lord. You make me want to shout. You're the goodness in my life. And then it keeps going through the chorus. Some of you haven't seen the goodness like you thought you are. You've seen God's goodness by keeping you through every day, but now you're going to start seeing the real goodness, because you have suffered for a long time and you've repented of your sins. You've repented of maybe some mistakes or choices you wished you hadn't have made. But repent then and turn to the Lord so that you may... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That's for another video. I'm not going to get into that. But you've repented and you've asked the Lord to forgive you. I get a lot of messages when I'm writing. But if you haven't repented of your sins and you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, just simply acknowledge Him, acknowledge your sins and your need for a Savior, and acknowledge Him as the Son of God and His good sacrifice, the gift that He gave us. So you need the goodness of God in your life. Some of you watching, you may have been running away. You may have pulled back. You've not listened. You've had praying mamas and grandmas. And it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And some of you have been hurt by churches. I've been hurt by churches before, but I let it go because I knew that wasn't God. And you can't judge one group of people by, or a whole congregation by, what one person does or a few people do, because they're the ones that's got the issues, okay? Not the whole group. I'm hearing the Lord say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to have a relationship, just close your eyes and simply pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive all my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins and you went to hell so I don't have to. I believe God raised you out of hell and brought you out of the tomb with all power in your hands, and you sent the Holy Spirit as a gift when you ascended. So I ask you, Jesus, to fill me with your Holy Spirit now and baptize me in your fire. I give you my heart and I give you my will. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple. And I mean, you can just talk to him, cry out to him however you feel. But you just got promoted. If this is your first time praying, or maybe you've been gone from God for a long time and you rededicated your life, if you did, I want you to put a 3 in the comments, because that to me is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I've had probably 2 or 3 today that put 3s in the comments. So welcome to the family of God. You just got promoted, or as the Bible says, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. And that is the greatest promotion anybody could ever have. You know, you were on your way to hell, but now you're on your way to heaven, and you got a mission on the earth. So hallelujah. Welcome to the family. And I'm praying for you. Get water baptized. I pray the Lord leads you where you're to go, or who can do it for you. Even if it's in their backyard, in their pool, go. You know, it's about your act of faith, going down into the grave and coming up a new creation in Christ. That's what the water baptism is. But if you don't repent and accept Christ, you just go down, you get wet, and you come back up. You need that spiritual birth. But I believe you've done that. And I want you to share your decision with people and tell them that, you know, you gave your heart to the Lord, and get a good Bible, a King James or a New King James, New Living Translation, and start reading the Word. And if you don't have one, I pray someone blesses you with one. You could always Google it. You know, I Google scriptures a lot too. And of course, I have my sword right here, but this is also my gun. It's fully loaded and it's full of ammunition. It's full of the fire and the Word of God. So that's the word the Lord had for me to give you guys. I hope you like my Scooby-Doo shirt. It reminds me of Velma and Shaggy and the van they used to drive, all those little squirrelies. But I love this color. It's my birthstone garnet. Appreciate all you guys for being here. If you have never subscribed and you would like to receive the words and the messages that God gives me for the moment, just simply hit the bell icon on the right. Click the word all, and then please hit the thumbs up on the left, and that gets this video into the YouTube algorithm. And I'm going to tell you guys, for those of you that are liking and sharing and subscribing, we have grown exponentially as a channel. I'm just like, my breath is taken away, but I know it's the Lord, because God gives the increase. And we have grown more than 60% in like 2.5 weeks. So thank you. You guys are evangelizing like wild people, and keep doing it, because I keep getting message after message after message of people who have, they're getting free. They've accepted Christ. They never knew that this type of ministry and love existed, because it is, God is love, but he's also power and he's just. And he wants you to have the very best. He doesn't want you living beneath your covenant rights. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell and from the devil. So to my longtime first subscribers, every one of you, I love you guys. I appreciate you for being here. And for our newest subscribers, welcome to the family. And you are a part of this covering. I pray for you guys daily. Anything the Lord speaks to me, I'll be sure to give it to you. I see all of your messages. I read them every day. I pray for you. And if he gives me anything to tell you, I tell you, but I at least want to acknowledge you and say, hey, thanks for being here. I'm praying for you. God bless you. So I will see you in the next video. I actually have another video on 2 different other dreams I've had this week. And it's a little more serious, but I believe it's a warning from the Lord, not only for me, for anything we need to pray about, but also for the body of Christ. And I'll do that in the next video. I'll combine them. But also, he's reminded me in the promotion, the Lord told me when I was writing this for tonight, he's dethroning a lot of people in the world and in the country and in your town, in your state, in your city. He is dethroning and stepping down people who are in authority right now, who are like the wicked kings of Israel, who did not follow after their father or their mothers who served the Lord. And some of them are plants by the devil. They're plants on assignment by the devil. But God told me, he said, I'm dethroning a lot of people. And I'm going to put the righteous in authority again, because he's heard the cries and the repentance of the people. So if you're under someone that's wicked, evil, mean, pray for their soul. Maybe they're going through a bad time. But a lot of them have had several chances from the Lord to get it right. and they're not, they haven't done what he's told them to do. Some of them are just flat out on evil demonic agendas, and God is getting ready to clean house. And you just watch. You watch TV, you watch your social media, you watch around your town, and you're going to see how some are going to be like resigning all of a sudden. They're going to be fired. Some are even going to be taken out. And I'm going to leave it at that, because some are sick in their bodies. Some are abusive. Some of them are into the occult and witchcraft. The Lord sees it all. See, people think that they can get away with doing whatever they want to people and treat, and you know, sticking things in their pockets and hiding. You can't hide anything from God, because he said anything done in the darkness will come to light. So the best thing to do, if you're one of these leaders and you're hearing this message right now, you're being convicted, you need to get on your knees and your face and repent before God and ask Jesus to forgive you and to come in your heart and save you. And I promise you, he will. And he'll start restoring you. I saw a little clip of someone over in the Middle East. You know, Islam is big over there, and that's demonic. But this guy, he's a prince, and he gave his heart to Christ. So we need to pray protection over him, because there have been things and families where they would do what they called an honor killing, and they would kill family members who were not, who become Christians. And, you know, Jesus talks a lot about all of this in the Bible, so we need to pray for him and anybody else that's coming to Christ out of a very controlling, toxic, demonic environment. Some of them have been beheaded for it. You know, in Revelations, John talks about seeing, and this gets to my heart, he sees the people before the throne worshiping who were beheaded for the name of Christ. There are going to be people that's going to be beheaded for Christ. And it's already happened. Like Daniel Pearl was one. You know, they made a movie about him. But he stood for what was right. And even if you don't fully understand, just, this is what I tell my son, we're seeing it happening right now with these microchips in the brain and things like that. No matter what you do, you choose Christ and you stay on the side of Christ. If you're with him, you should have peace. Don't ever sell your soul or give your birthright away like Esau did. You stand for Jesus Christ, even if it means your life, because then you'll be with the King forever. Don't take that nasty mark of the beast. Don't take anything that's being pushed in our face today that you don't feel good about in your spirit. And I'm not going to go into anything deep, but I've refused a lot of things because the Lord told me no. And just protect yourself and protect your family and don't be deceived. And I pray the spirit of discernment comes upon you to know what is right and what is wrong. So just look for people in authority, even heads of big companies. I mean, multi-million dollar companies. You're going to start seeing people being dethroned left and right. And as that's happening, God's already got somebody set up to go in their place, just like he had Esther to replace Queen Vashti, but he also had King David to replace Saul, because Saul quit doing what God told him to do. And these people are not listening to the Lord, and they're doing their own thing. And some of them have gotten off into wickedness. So keep praying for people's soul, praying for God's will to be done in their life. But you just wait, your promotion is coming, and the Lord is cleaning house on your behalf. So I love you guys, and I thank you so much for all of your support, and I'll see you in the next video. Okay, and I'm praying for you. Bye-bye.